one of the presidential candidates, the Social Democratic Party, Prince Adebayo, when he spoke during the NBA conference here in Lagos a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke expressly about the issue of oil theft in Nigeria, and he emphatically said that government was complicit. But well, we're having a conversation today with our guest joining us live from Abuja, Fineface Dunamene. Fineface, he is the Executive Director, Youth Environmental Advocacy Center Nigeria, and is also the National Facilitator Project with Artisanal Crude Oil Refiners for refineries in the Niger Delta. I'll take that again. National Facilitator for the Project with Artisanal Crude Oil Refiners for Modular Refineries in the Niger Delta. It's so good to have you join us, Fineface.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Fineface, and welcome. Whoever named you Fineface saw your face.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
So, Fineface, just as I said in my intro, Prince Adebayo spoke about the issue of oil theft, especially the fact that so many tankers are leaving this country allegedly without a trace. Nobody knows how this crude oil, of course, is being transported out of the country. Looking at the volume that government is saying is being stolen. Again, the government has also said that, you know, in fact, the NNPC has said that churches, places of worships, are also complicit in this crude oil theft, that they are the ones who are keeping these crude when they're being stolen from wherever in the Niger Delta. But oh, thank goodness you are the guy for this conversation. Let's start by looking at this situation in Nigeria. Did it start today?
Well, the crude oil theft going on in the Niger Delta region and some other parts of the country, because it's not only the Niger Delta that is actually producing oil anymore. Many parts like the Southwest is also part of this. So the crude oil theft going on is a massive, you know, theft that is going on. And like Adebayo said, that government is complicit. Yeah, you cannot say he's lying. He's not lying. Government is complicit through the security operatives that have been posted to go and prevent crude oil theft. They get involved. They aid and abate this illegal crude oil theft that is going on across the Niger Delta. And to a very large extent, I think I have an experience as well. Just last month, I was in Abuja as well. And the taxi that took me from the airport told me that he has been into transportation for 9 years. And the 9 years before he left it last year to start the airport taxi shuttle he's doing, that he has been involved in the transportation of crude oil from Nigeria to neighboring countries. And I asked him, is it official or illegal? He said it's illegal, that there are people that are in it, that that's what he's been doing for 9 years. So you can imagine 9 years, you know, down the line, this has been happening. So it's a massive situation that is going on, unfortunately. And in the process of doing this, the environment is degraded. The local fishermen and farmers lost their livelihoods. And those who are involved in Abuja, in Lagos, Port Harcourt, wherever they may be, within and outside the country, and other machineries that help them to do this, they are doing it at the expense of the economy of Nigeria, doing it at the expense of the local people that live in the area where the oil is found. And then you still have these other youths who get involved in the process of stealing crude oil, you know, getting it to enrich themselves, refining locally and making so much money. So I think it's a system that needs to be looked at closely. Look at those who are involved in it. That is why, to an extent, the step that is government is trying to take now, let's see how far that can go to address the issue of crude oil theft in the Niger Delta.
All right, Fineface, let me come with this angle, because the quantity of crude that is being taken out, I don't think like 500 of those drivers will not be able to do that. There was a case of this vessel, MT Heroic Idun, that came in, and he came in without papers. He went to the aquafield to pick up crude, and nothing happened to it. But when he was leaving, it was arrested in Equatorial Guinea for not having the papers. So a whole vessel came in. So this must mean some complicity to the highest of levels. So is this the magnitude of what we're talking about here?
That is the magnitude of what we are talking about. The conflict is still in the area of being able to really ascertain the quantity of crude that is stolen per day. But this crude is stolen by those who use truck to truck the product,
okay,
stolen by vessels that come into the country,
yeah,
to discharge products, and they don't want to go back empty with empty vessel. They have to load it, and other illegal entry into the country, you know, to carry this. So it's massive. And like the youths who are involved in the Sinai refining will tell you that what they are stealing is just very small compared to what others are taking with barges and ships out of the country. And I think that even when I listen to the Nigerian Navy leader speak about this issue on TV some days ago and claiming that, you know, the quantity that is being stolen is not as much as that. Well, I know it may not be as much as that, but I know quite well that that is happening. And it's happening under their nose and under their watch. And I think that they need to take steps collectively and holistically to see how they can address this. Because the level at which this is happening is a shame to the Nigerian nation, because Nigeria seems to be the only country anywhere in the world where its crude oil is being stolen at the magnitude, at the quantity at which it is being stolen. And it seems nothing is being done because a lot of people who are supposed to fight against this are complicit in the process. And they are aiding and abetting this entire process because they are benefiting from it. The argument they always put forward is that the people in Abuja are stealing money that comes from the product after it's been sold out of the country. And then that they are stealing the product itself, that they are even suffering to steal. That the people in Abuja are allegedly, you know, stealing without suffering. And that it is their turn to get that. So it's unfortunate.
Recently, the customs controller of customs queried the NNPC as to the amount of crude or the amount of you know, petroleum products that we consume as a country, and they were unable to give him a factual, you know, number. And it for me, I'm wondering why can't we in 2022 as a country be able to tell the amount of consumption, the volume of consumption that we have per day. He did question how much the NNPC is producing and how much they're saying that we're consuming. Why produce that much and then complain about theft when you should have, produced the one that we need that day?
Yeah. That is a clear indication that there is very serious corruption allegedly going on within the NNPC and its network of those who import the products into the country. It's not new. You know, we've said that, I think Erufai even said that NNPC is a country within Nigeria, or who said that? So it's massive. They should be able to know what they import on daily basis, what we consume on daily basis. They should be able to get that statistics. It's not rocket science that they cannot know. So if they are telling us they don't know the quantity of product we consume per day, then how are they not telling us they are spending billions of naira for subsidy per day? So I think they need to be able to understand that and be able to address the quantity we consume per day, so that when we look at the area of finding solution to the problem, like talking about modular refinery or talking about the Presidential Artisanal Crude Oil Refining Development Initiative, which I propounded in 2020, as a way of modifying what the youths are currently doing, for them to refine this product locally and address the energy needs in the local economy with less environmental pollution. That is similar to what the presidency has done with illegal gold miners in parts of the north and western Nigeria, whereby they legalized illegal gold mining, put it under the Presidential Artisanal Gold Mining Development Initiative, and they are able to buy the gold from them. So I think as part of the measures they have put in place, like the contract that has been awarded to Tumpolo and other ex-agitators in the Niger Delta to secure the pipeline, the process should follow by providing alternative livelihood opportunities for youths who are involved in crude oil theft, pipeline vandalism that are now being displaced as a result of that contract. So it's something that we need to holistically be able to address. The illegal refined product that we are also using in the country is complementing the effort of the government in the area that they are importing this product into the country. It's illegal, but you can agree with me that there is no time the NNPC even talk about the quantity of kerosene they import into the country, knowing fully whether the Kaduna, Warri and Port Harcourt refineries are not working, and that local communities depend on this kerosene to survive, but they are not making that available. So it is these youth that are involved in illegal oil mining that are able to make this available, and it's unfortunate that they cannot provide this.
All right, with a quantity of 400,000 barrels a day, that's about $40 million a day. And from the person you said you spoke to, he was at it for 9 years. Are you with me now, feeling that this is just legal? If you can do something for 9 years, and you can take away 400,000 barrels every single day, do we not just say this is legal? This system. And now, in the same vein, we have a government that is paying Tumpolo money to guard the pipelines. Is this just a way to further siphon monies, because I hear the contract is about how many billion naira?
48 billion.
How many? So, no, so
4 billion every
4 billion
30 days.
Every 30 days.
Every 30 days.
Yes. So you are telling me that you want Tumpulo to guard the pipelines where 400,000 barrels are taken out every day to the tune of $40 million. Are we just playing? Are they just playing with us here?
Well, I don't think they are playing in a way they are not playing, in a way they could be playing. But in the first instance, the contract is aimed at minimizing, it's not eradicating or stopping crude oil theft in Nigeria. Crude oil theft, unfortunately, has come to stay.
Wow.
It cannot be eradicated. It cannot be stopped
totally. Why can't it? I'm sorry. Why can't it be stopped totally? We have security agencies that are manning these places. We have all kinds of security agencies. I see the NSCDC, the police. I see mobile police officers. I see the Navy. Why can't it be eradicated?
It cannot be eradicated. It cannot be stopped totally because the people that are supposed to be part of the process of eradicating it are the people that are part and parcel of these processes. Hmm. You know, it's a complex cartel of those who are involved in this business. And each time they taste the money, it's so sweet that they do anything they can to ensuring that the oil continues to flow illegally to their source. Like the man I cited that I don't even know again because he just dropped me and left,
he told me
three things which I should point out here. He said that when they engage in the business, the security operatives that they meet on the road and the people they are going to pass that are supposed to arrest them, that they gave them three conditions. The three conditions are that, number one, do you need your job or you want to lose your job? Number two, do you need money or you don't want to take money? Number three, do you want to be alive or you want to die? Choose one and allow them to pass.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow.
So with these three conditions, he told me that the security people are told. The people are just helpless within the system.
The temerity.
So it's a complex of something that will be difficult to eradicate but can be minimized to the barest minimum. So, but I think that the contract that has been awarded is basically targeted at the federal government being able to transport this crude through the Trans-Niger Delta pipeline. Because as we speak, I have interacted with some people that are involved in the process, and they will tell me that when they pump 100% of crude through the Trans-Niger Delta pipeline, that what they get at the export terminal is just about 10%.
What?
Because of multiple tapping along the line.
Whoa.
So that has become an issue that by mid-June 2022, the federal government of Nigeria, the NNPC, and of course Shell and other joint venture partners, they stopped transporting crude through the Trans-Niger Delta pipeline. So you can imagine how much they are losing between June and this is September. So the contract is aimed at minimizing, not eradicating, the crude oil theft and the tapping on the Trans-Niger Delta pipeline. So Nigeria can at least pump and be able to get at least 80% at the export terminal. So it's a big hit on the Nigerian economy, such that Nigeria is unable to pump enough crude to meet up its OPEC quota, which is pegged at 1.7 million barrels of crude oil per day. Nigeria is unable to do so. And in addition to making sure that oil continues to flow through the pipeline with the youth tapping less to the pipeline, they have awarded that contract. And the government have also, I think sometime in May, awarded about 57 contracts to about 100 companies to go and prospect for more oil so that they can be able to produce. And this is even contradictory for a country that has
non-oil
launched energy transition program
exactly,
for which the vice president is outside the country talking about how to run this. So we need to look at how to be able to balance the question that we have using the resources we are gaining from oil now to transit the country, diversify the economy so that we don't, you know, crash. Because as it is now, if the current level of oil theft is sustained around September 2023, then Nigeria as a country is going to crash because they will not have money to pay salary, they will not have money to run the election or what have you.
Let's talk about political will here, because you know, all I hear is pacifying the devil, trying to stop, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, it's a lot of backhanding here. But let's talk about political will in dealing with this, according to you, cartel of sorts. You mentioned earlier on about the refineries that are still not working. People are still being paid salaries. Government is telling us that they're trying to do something. As much as we're also looking into energy, why do you think it's taken forever for these refineries to work? Many people have said to me, oh, well, Dangote is building a refinery. And I'm wondering, how's that my problem? The government does own refineries that are not working. Monies are still being, allotted for the fixing of these refineries over and over. But then nothing comes out of it. What exactly do you think is the problem here?
The problem here is that there are cartels within the Nigerian government system that are benefiting from the subsidy regime and how much that is being spent. There are those that if they allow the refineries to work, the money they make on daily basis from the subsidy regime will not be there anymore. There are those who are benefiting from the illegal refining economy, the illegal economy of crude oil racketeering in Nigeria, that if they allow the refineries to work, they will not be able to have market for their products. So a lot of factors are involved in why they are not allowing the refinery to work. Now, Nigeria is trying to transit from fossil fuel to renewable energy, following the pattern of the world. But we have not been able to tap the potential of the oil in the country by way of being able to produce the crude oil in Nigeria, refine it in Nigeria, create jobs in Nigeria, and have local energy sufficiency in the country. We've not been able to do so. But now we are trying to transit. Now, so the system is so skewed to the extent that some cabals within the system that are benefiting from the system are not allowing the system to work. That is why, to an extent, I believe that Nigerians should look forward to 2023 and look among the various candidates and look at the person that can be able to at least bring us out of the system we have currently found ourselves by at least 25%. Because I know we are not going to have a perfect system. But with time, we are going to move from point A to point B. But if there is any mistake in 2023, again, we are going to be plunged into more problem and crisis than we currently are. Because the population of Nigeria is growing. Jobs are not being created. The youths are resorting to self-help by breaking into the pipelines that the youth, the government will always tell them, the opportunity we have for you is in the pipeline. The boys are not checking into the pipeline to see the opportunities that are in there. And a lot of crisis is coming to our communities.
Well, because we do not have too much time, Stretch, I see you want to ask a question. This conversation is streaming. We're on YouTube. We're live on YouTube. Search for Nigeria Info on Facebook, 99.3 Nigeria Info. You can also tweet your comments, your questions at Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. All right. We'd like to hear from you, Stretch. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're opening up the phone lines on the other side when we'll be allowing you to talk to our guests. It's quite mind-blowing, mind-boggling things they're saying. So before we move on, I would like to also ask this. You're talking about, Marianne talked about the political will. And from what you have said now, there is practically none.
Zero.
Nobody is trying to do anything. The cartels have come to the energy sector. They've come to the health sector. Now and then, they're dealing with a major export. When we come back, maybe you will not be able to answer this right now. Is there, I always would like to ask, is there a lacuna? Is there a way out of this? Apart from waiting to 2023, they are doing things that are contradicting what they've said they will do. Things are being, has it ever been this bad? The driver said he'd been driving for 9 years. Has it ever been like this in Nigeria from the day we knew about oil theft? Has it ever been this bad?
It was never like this. What we have today started sometime in 1979 from the research we have carried out.
Okay.
And became worse in the 2000s than to 2022. So for the past 22 years, it's been worse. And it's been worse because government don't give attention to this. And I think the solution will be political will that will drive this process.
Okay.
And I see the award of the contract for surveillance to Tompolo as a step in the direction of using political will to address the issues. Remember, Tompolo was given this contract under former President Goodluck Ebele Jonathan. Yeah. It was cancelled, chased by the Buhari administration, taken to court and all the issues.
Yeah.
But when they saw the level at which oil was being stolen, they have now returned the contract to him.
All right, we'll stop that thought there because we are out of time. We'll go and come back briefly while you get other things you want to see into perspective. And when we come back, after you talk to us, we'll then open up the phone lines. Don't go anywhere.
Well, for those who are just joining us, we're having this conversation about oil theft and, of course, the future implications on the Nigerian state. And our guest is Fineface Dunet. Fineface, you have to tell me how to pronounce your surname. Dunamene.
All right, Fineface, you were saying something about the institutionalization of this theft, this thing that has been going on for so many years. And I asked you, has it ever been this bad? And you were saying It has been on for 22 years, and right now we are probably at the point where it has never been like this. Does it look like something that will ever win? Or before 2023, is it looking like something that will ever win?
Yes, we might win the war against crude oil thefts in Nigeria, but it's not going to be a holistic win.
Okay.
It's going to be a win-win situation, a minimized win. And it's not going to be something that will occur almost immediately. It will take quite some time before that can happen. It will take time. In the next 5 years, if we start today on a serious war today, in 5 years' time, we can have a reduced, crude oil theft in Nigeria. But the level at which it is now is something that I don't think we can achieve anything by next year. And the crude oil theft you see in Nigeria is the manifestation of corruption that is endemic in the system. And that is why you see it to a very large extent getting institutionalized. But I think if we know the implication of what we are doing to the economy, to the environment, we will be able to see how to collectively fight and win the war against crude oil theft. So it's not just a government war. It's not just a war of the people that live in the community. It's a war that government will have to lead the process and security operatives will direct that process. So to a very large extent, I think governments, the executive, and they have a lot to do for them to reduce what is currently going on.
I'll tell you what, Fineface, I'm sure you know this. For 6 years, I was in Rivers State, and we continuously talked about the oil spill and of course, the economic implications of this and how it has affected not just the Ogoni people, but several other places in the Niger Delta. And, we've also discussed the politics, between the IOCs and the government. One of the things that the government of Buhari, President Buhari, actually campaigned with was this issue of the Ogoni cleanup. Where is that as we speak? Now, you're talking about the environmental impacts of all of these things, including the suit that we all, went out, and protested about that almost killed a lot of people in River State. Where are we on these issues? Because we're just talking about the crude here. We're not talking about the impacts on the lives of the people in those areas.
Yeah, I think the cleanup project is ongoing and the process is on, but the speed at which they are taking is not what we expected, because the UNEP report on Ogoni 2011 recommended that the environmental remediation of Ogoni land should commence with emergency measures, that after that we should have the black spots, that is the black crude on the surface of the soil, removed for the first 5 years of the project. And for that reason, $1 billion was appropriated for that purpose. And as we speak, the process is on. The emergency measures have not gotten the required attention. Just about now is when they are putting together issues around water provision. The audit of the health of the people have not taken place. Massive sanitization has not taken place as expected. Provision of alternative livelihood opportunities for youth who were involved in artisanal crude oil refining, and for which $10 million have been provided and available, has not been addressed. So as we speak, the black crude is still on ground in Ogoni land. That has not been removed, despite the fast tracking of the process that the presidency approved. And HyPREP, which is the Hydrocarbon Pollution Remediation Project in the Federal Minister of Environment that is handling the Ogoni cleanup, does not lack money. It's the only agency in Nigeria, or one of the agencies in Nigeria, that they have money, but spending the money to achieve the purpose for which the money was given is their problem. But I think that they should be able to take some steps to address that. We are calling for emergency to be declared on the Ogoni cleanup so that we can have the suspension of some of the laws that are slowing up the process of carrying out the cleanup. In River State today, we still have suits, plaguing people. But it has reduced somehow as a result of the war against artisanal crude oil refining that was started by the River State government in January and abandoned sometimes in March, because the governor and the government, they have to go for the presidential election.
Yeah.
Ever since he came back, that has not happened. And communities are still polluted. The pollution we have in the Niger Delta today cannot be cleaned up in the next 50 years. In 50 years, we can't remove the pollution that is on ground. And we wanted to have the Ogoni cleanup to serve as a model that can be replicated in other parts of the Niger Delta. But that has not been achieved. This is 6 years down the line. The report was released in 2011. The cleanup started in 2016, June 2nd, when it was flagged off. Actual work started around 2017, and this is 2022. So we don't have 5 years completed, and the black crude has not been removed from the soil, which means in technical terms, we can say the Ogoni cleanup is yet to commence.
Is yet to commence. Well, we want to bring Lagos into this conversation. And if you are listening, you want to be part of it. We're talking about crude oil theft and its, of course, future implications on the Nigerian state, especially in the Niger Delta. Well, we'd like for you to join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. And you could call if you're a lady. Call 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. We're live on Facebook. Facebook, you can go search for Nigeria Info 99.3. And on YouTube, you can also look for Nigeria Info. We are there. So join the conversation. Post your comments wherever you're watching us from. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter, use the hashtag WhatsApp Lagos, or you can send us a WhatsApp message. We'd be glad to hear from you. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio.
Lagos.
Good morning. What's up, Lagos? What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
This Obinna calling from First Time.
Go ahead.
About the land, about the oil theft issue. That is, I believe, total. There's no way government can stop the oil theft totally, according to what. But I believe, can't we apply? Is there no way? As in like, where we can use as in, instead of us using pipe, instead of using tank from the production site to the exportation site, so that.
So you're talking about different technology. Yes.
Technology. So instead of using pipe to transport it, we should be using
There are other
ways that we can explore, but then this is where we are at the
cheapest
moment.
Cheapest and the most efficient, I think. Actually. Fine face, am I right? I mean, using the pipelines.
Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? Good morning. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
This is Malik speaking from First Act.
Malik, please go ahead.
Welcome.
Do you know what? Do you know why it's so serious since 1990 you did? Sorry, since 2019, sorry, till date. Do you know why?
Mm-mm.
After the amnesty program, you took some people outside this country to train them how to refine products. You brought them back without giving them job. What do you expect? You brought them back without giving them job. And to bust this oil pipe, you're saying so, it's not beans. To tell you that some highly placed people are involved to get this equipment to bust those pipes is not beans. Mm. If the government are ready to work, like he said, you cannot get oil tech finished. You could bring it to the bare minimum. The government should start arresting the big people in charge. When you prosecute them, the younger ones will sit up and not to do such.
Political will. All right.
Okay, thank you very much, right, Malik. Interesting position that you've taken there. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Yeah, what's up, Lagos?
What's good morning. Up, Lagos?
Go ahead. Yeah, Mr. Francis, good morning, sir.
Go ahead.
I don't know whether you know a place they call Ibafo around Tinkan, Trinity, but on your way to Wharf. Go and see the private tanks. Big, big tanks. When they started building all those things, I say, I know there's a problem. And you go to the street, locality, you will see tank, big surface tank selling kerosene. Where are they getting those products from? Those days, they used to arrest them, seal off such a facility, but today, it's all over the place.
Mm.
Like the man said, who they think is explaining all this thing, is going to take time. And for that topolo job, that's a big slap on the Nigerian Navy. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate your thoughts.
I got a message I got to read here. Oil theft. Please, I want to remain anonymous. I worked as a cargo surveyor, petroleum inspector, NNPC and PPMC, subsidiaries of Trafigura, Vitol, Tacoma and Mercuria. These international oil marketers have their cronies in these Nigerian agencies. If you go offshore, these VLCCs load crude oil on daily basis with their light turned off during these operations. The locals are only used cheap labor
mm-hmm.
to execute their aim. Government agents are highly involved in this crude theft.
Hmm. Interesting. You got another message?
Yes, this one says, he's preaching something else.
Hmm.
I don't understand what we are discussing here about crude oil theft. Not today. It's been on in the Korokoro eyes of the different authorities. Please go through the West African corridor and see the wonders of refined petroleum then. It's a whole lot of rot that cannot be curbed with kids' gloves. The security authorities and the powers that be are part and parcel of the rot. It's a shame. You didn't put in your name there.
Back to the phone lines. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? Good morning. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
From Otto Community. My name is Haladi.
All right, Haladi. Go ahead.
Actually, in fairness to the current government, according to the man there, our guest, the contract for Tom Polo is a new development. It's better. But there's one thing I want to chip in, and the issue of demand and supply. In order to minimize or eradicate this theft, I think we need to increase the supply. When you have more supply that is greater than demand, this thing becomes an. And that brings me to the issue of these modular refineries. If we can increase the number of modular refineries around Niger Delta or across Nigeria, then the demand, the supply is very, very higher.
I don't think you're aware of the statistics. If you were following the conversation, we already have a lot of production, much more over what we need as a country. That's what we're talking about. So if you do know the statistics, we have more. And then we're still complaining of theft of this oil that we have produced.
No, and to also give him light, where they're not stealing for domestic use, they're stealing to sell
outside.
They're selling to
other countries. It's not within Nigeria.
It's not us.
Because I don't think that we have a problem with crude in the country.
Increase modular, maybe it will help us, but they're stealing a large percentage, like 90%.
Is taking
going
it out
to where we don't know.
Because if we had enough floating within the country, we probably not have any issues of no fuel, no kerosene. But then we have people taking this crude out of the country, right under our noses, and then the government is saying, well, the churches and the places of worship, they're the ones who are complicit. Interesting. Well, my guest, Fine Face, is here in the studio. If you have questions, you got comments, we'd like to hear from you. Now, on Facebook, we have some comments here. Augustine Igbozurike here says, thank you for the update. Ovunna Dicklan says he's watching from Alike, equal in Ebonyi State. And Ngogu Andri.
Alike.
Okay. Ngogu Kasarachi Anthony says these are real facts. Aya Matthew says, great talk. Keep the conversation flowing. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about all thefts in Nigeria and, of course, the future effects that we'll have on the Nigerian state. Now, Fine Face, before we go back to the comments and the calls that are coming in, elections are around the corner, and you made mention of something about picking a leader that would help us, because you said we shouldn't make a mistake again. I'm not going to go into the again because I don't want to put you on the spot. What kind of person will be willing or would have that willpower to push? Because on the one hand, you're saying that there's a cartel of sorts and they find their way into every government. How do we try as much as possible to get the kind of leader who would be able to push this? And do we have that kind of leader?
And do you also think that the cartel will let anybody,
no matter how powerful they are, how resolute they are?
$40 million a day. If I were part of the cartel, I will not allow you to do anything with that.
But then the president does have power. So what kind of president should we be looking to vote?
Well, I think Nigerians should look at the various presidential candidates and standard bearers of the various political parties. Listen to them. From what we are told by INEC, by about 28th of this month, the presidential campaign doors are going to be opened. So each presidential candidate is going to campaign to Nigerians. Let Nigerians listen to all the presidential candidates, ask them questions, take note of what they are saying from their mouth, as in promises they are making, and then be able to hold them to account at the elections by voting for someone that we provide practical solution to the problem that we have in the country. I don't want to name or mention any particular presidential candidate because by virtue of my work as a human rights defender and environmentalist, I don't participate in partisan politics, but I influence the decisions of government through my advocacy. So Nigerians should look at the various candidates, vote their conscience, get their PVCs, and come out on election day to vote for someone they believe can take the country to the next level. That is what we just have to put together at this point in time, because if we miss it again in 2023, then the current droves we are having in the country, whereby people have to travel outside the country to make ends meet, people have to go into things, will be a very big problem if we allow this to happen.
0700-993-993-993 is the number for you to call. That's 0700-993-993-993. If you're a lady, call 01465-7190. And you can send us a WhatsApp message. We'd like to hear from you. Or tweet at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. And don't forget to use the hashtag WhatsApp Lagos. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? What's up? Good morning. Up, what's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
My name is Victor, calling from VI.
Go ahead, Victor. All right,
let me contribute on this oil test. Since I've been hearing about this oil test, it's today that I had something that is reasonable for me. That 90% of the oil test is taken outside the country. That means we are getting foreign exchange then.
Well, unfortunately, the money doesn't come back into the country.
It's going to private hands.
Those funds are never repatriated back into the country. It's just going into the pockets of foreigners.
Okay, the ones that have been coming back to the country, where is it going to?
10%.
Uh-huh. So, where is the one that is coming back to the country, where is going to? That is the same way the illegal one is going to. So, as far as I'm concerned about OSF, it should continue. Because anything that is meant for masses in Nigeria...
You can't say that.
...is always be stolen.
Yeah, but then we can't encourage it to continue to be stolen. It's not in our best interest, is it?
Even by you saying
it's to all who interest now, because I've never had anything about since oil has been discovered in this country that the masses have benefited from the oil.
I understand his frustrations. You know, I mean, nothing has been done with this crude oil money, as far as he's concerned, that has benefited him as a Nigerian.
So that even if 100% is stolen, it doesn't concern
him.
Yeah,
so he's like still away.
That's where we don't want to be. Yeah.
No, I don't think that we want to go from bad to worse. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
What's up, Lagos? What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Abdullahi Arakanu. I'm calling from B4 Ogun State.
All right, Abdullahi.
You invited a very learned man, very talking to correct. I like him the way he speaks.
Okay.
The about the oil theft, it cannot be stopped because those working in the field, they are the one doing the stealing.
Okay.
It can't stop forever. It cannot stop or minimize. Those who are working there, they are the same people doing the stealing. I'm telling you reality. Okay, those who steal the money to abroad, where the money goes to. You, as a learner, as you mentioned the cartel, can you mention them? And if you mention them, maybe the next government will prosecute them. Thank you very much for allowing me to call you.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Hello. Are you there? What's up, Lagos?
Hello. I think that person is unable to hear us. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello, good morning.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's up? Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Femi. I'm calling you from Ikoyi.
All right.
Go ahead, Femi.
Okay, so this oil theft of a thing, I think it's pretty much evidence that the government officials are part of it. And it is so sad that somebody who earns a certain amount of money can boast of what he should not have, and we celebrate them. How else would we not allow them continue stealing us blue and black? Whereas if there was a case of you earn 100,000, you have something that is worth 5 million naira.
Oh dear,
Are you with me?
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead, quickly.
You're questioned, and you are murdered with the right sentence that you must have been involved in something illegal. You cannot produce how you got the money.
Mm.
It would curb a lot of things. But we have even the Minister of Petroleum, who knows? I don't know what they are doing.
All right.
Like the one of the callers said, we have not benefited anything from the oil.
Mm.
May God help us.
May God really help us. Well, because we're out of time, we'll just take one more question before we wrap this conversation up.
Yeah. So,
one more message.
Well, we'll take a message, but ask Mr. Fineface when we come back, please, to round up for us. Because everything you've reeled out, it looks like I should take my two hands and put on my head and open my mouth and start crying. So, if there's any hope, you give that hope. But let me just read the message. Some see crude oil theft as normal business in Nigeria. Security agents have questions to answer as well.
As well.
Obi says, this is a long one. He says, Obi, on the ground theft of crude oil, I come from a different perspective. Wherever there is a massive criminal activity of millions of dollars worth, there is a white man nearby. Now, Shebi the West, Oibo, are supposedly working towards eliminating or diminishing use of fossil fuels. So how come this massive crude oil theft? Where does the crude oil go to? Also, don't forget there's a shortage in Europe due to Ukrainian war and economic war in Russia. Who is Europe's chief supplier? Is it coincidence that the grand theft tallies with war shortages? And finally,
that's a very long message. We do not have time. We have to go.
Not be able to read this.
Fineface, we want to say thank you for being part of the conversation. Unfortunately, there is no time.
You can wrap up in 30 seconds, right?
Yes.
What do you want to say to us before we leave?
Yeah, I want to say I appreciate the opportunity to speak on the program. There is hope for Nigeria if all hands can be on deck, from the National Assembly to the federal government to all Nigerians, put hands together to fight oil theft. Then we are going to achieve what we want.
All right, Fineface Duneme, thank you so much for speaking with us. He is, of course, the Executive Director, YEC Nigeria. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you. All right, well, this is where we wrap up on the conversation today. My name is Mary Anacon. You can find me on all socials, especially Twitter and Instagram, MIMIEYO, but follow me everywhere else, Mary Ann Duke Okon.
My name is Stretch. Check me out on Instagram, Stretch Original, one word. And if you want to see me on Twitter, Stretch Cool. I'll be back tomorrow. Grace of God.
All right. Have a beautiful day, Lagos. We'll see you tomorrow.
But when securing good health costs you an arm and a leg, naturally.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not